Welcome to the Purely Arsenal podcast. We've been gone for a long, long time and we're not even sure if we're back yet. But we thought we'd try and pop on. But yeah, we're back and lots of stories being released, Neil. Currently, mate, we've got stories as we speak from Ornstein, the absolute porn star that he is himself, and other people like Jan Ager Fjortoff and all these guys saying that we've agreed a deal for Aubameyang, mate. So what do you think? What do you think? If it does go through, obviously big if, not saying it has or anything like that. But if it does, what do you think? What kind of player are we going to end up with?
I think we're going to end up with a player that's going to be very, very useful for how we play football, Jack. I think he's going to fit in well in the front lineup with the likes of Ozil, our new signing. I call him Mickey because I can't pronounce his name, Mkhitaryan. And obviously Lacazette, and I think we're going to be full of options. There's still no confirmation, obviously, with the deal. That you know what I'm like. I'm very, very cautious about things like this because I've been, as we all have, been bitten hard in the past when we've thought we've signed someone and then it's just fizzled out or they've gone to a different or an opposing team, which has been really dreadful. But this does look like something is definitely happening. It's been going up and down for God knows what, a few weeks now, where we thought we'd nabbed him, and then it all seemed to die a death because of talk of all the fees that weren't being agreed, and et cetera, the usual, vibrations coming out that, you know, Arsenal are not agreeing to their asking price and all the rest of it. So then we all sort of like think, oh, here we go again, same old Arsenal, being tight, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, in the last few hours, there's just been some kind of, something's been happening in the background and it just feels like there's something a little bit more positive about it. So if it does happen, I think we're going to get a humdinger of a signing. And I really do feel that he will fit in with the Wenger style of football and the way we play, you know, fluid moving, quick movement. And I just think he'll be an amazing signing. It's just, I'm just seeing the ticker tape now on Sky Sports, actually. He's saying Arsenal close to agreeing fee of around 16 million with Borussia Dortmund for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I can't pronounce his name.
Aubameyang.
Yes,
Aubameyang.
Sky Sources.
We're signing, mate. We're signing. Come on.
He's, oh my God.
Arsenal, baby. Get it.
This is unreal.
We've got a song for him or something, mate. It's brilliant, isn't it? I've been
This is great because you think about it, Jack. We haven't been on air for God knows how long, and we haven't even mentioned that bloke that went to some other team up north, have we?
Yeah,
so we don't need to now.
Oh,
mate, they're saying it's running now on Sky. It is running now.
That
so
is that is what we're waiting for.
Oh my God, no, this could be it.
Oh,
oh mate.
144 games with Dortmund, Neil. 98 goals. He's 29 years old. He's 28 years old, and he will be 29. We're not going to go through that. But he's in his prime. We've got 3-4 years of him left. But
I think so.
Let's be positive a little bit. Let's hope he does come in. Obviously, we're not jumping the gun too much, but Sky Sports is releasing it. Ornstein's releasing it. Relatively reliable sources with the fee being agreed.
Indeed.
I'm sure there's more to be settled. But Neil, would you reckon? I mean, where's he fitting, Neil? I mean, it's a great dilemma to have. But we did just sign Lacazette for 50+ million. He's going to play centrally, or is he? Where do you see him playing?
I think he might go central. I think Lacazette might move to the side. But then I think we can change it as well because we've got so many options. And we've got to remember, there's nothing concrete about Giroud at the moment, so we still might even have him to come off the bench. So we've just got a plethora of options if he does join. I don't know what's going to happen with the likes of Welbeck. I think he's going to go right down the pecking order. But I just think even if Giroud does go, we've got some seriously good attacking lineup there. And I just got a feeling he'll play central initially. And I think Wenger might move Lacazette to the side on the wings. We might have Ozil just behind him, and we'll have Lacazette and on the side. And I think it worked. I'm so excited. I can't even speak at the minute, mate.
Excited. And we're not people that jump the gun too much, but you are definitely someone that doesn't get excited until you see it on the certainly on the yellow ticker tape. Or so really, I mean, Twitch.
Well, to be fair, I'm being premature tonight, Jack. I normally wait for the Arsenal to officially announce it on their website. So I'm being really premature, but you tell me, how do you feel? How do you feel about it, and where do you see him? What's your thoughts
well,
on it?
Well, I think I agree with you. I think surely he's coming in. You know, he's going, I'm in the prime, I'm used to playing centrally. Because he got moved accidentally by Dortmund. I was reading a little bit about him. He got moved accidentally a few years back by Dortmund centrally. And then he was just incredible, you know. To be honest, when I watched him, and I've watched him a little bit in a lot of Champions League games, he's really the closest thing to Henri that I've seen. Do you know what I mean? In terms of his stature, his pace, his strength on the ball, I need to watch him a little bit closer. But if he does play centrally, I find it, because you've got to remember, we've also got Mkhitaryan coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and Mkhitaryan, it seems like Wenger would probably want to play Mkhitaryan in that, you know, what is currently the Iwobi position out left, probably. And then you look at that and you say, well, you know, is it Aubameyang or Lacazette? Which is really quite... If that is the case, I mean, it's fantastic for the squad, isn't it? But surely, Neil, if we are going to get this deal through, and it's looking great, we've got a few days left of the window, surely it means the end for Giroud or Welbeck, doesn't it?
I think so. I think for one of the two, I think definitely so. Sadly for me, from a personal point of view, I would rather stick with Giroud because I've always been a fan of his. But I think he's the more likely to exit because with Giroud, you know that he needs game time. And from a personal point of view, he needs to be seen to be playing to get a chance to play for France. And I think that will probably swing it. I think for me, out of the two, it will most likely be Giroud because he's more likely to play internationally than Welbeck is, with all due respect to Welbeck. I just feel Welbeck's one of these players that is just on the cusp of doing something great, but he just seems to always, I don't know, flap around a little bit too much. Although he works hard and he does give it everything for the team, he just hasn't got that finishing product, has he? He just can't put the ball in the net as much as we would like him to. And I think, you know, at least with Giroud, I know he doesn't start games, but when he does come on, you know, time and time again, he has scored some corking goals and he's put the ball in the net, which is what you're paid to do. And I just feel that the two, it would most likely be Giroud. But you never know. You never know because while it was very prominent initially that they were saying that it will only happen if they get, you know, if a deal for Giroud can be arranged as well. Now it just seems to be just the asking price. And I think the pendulum has swung a little bit as to the terms of the agreement. So I don't know, you know, maybe Giroud is going to stay as well. It's so difficult to stay. And again, let's not get too excited. There's still a chance. I don't want to sound the pessimist, but there's still a chance it might not happen. But at the moment, it does look good. I mean, Sky wouldn't just stick this ticker tape on if they didn't know something.
There's something there.
They wouldn't.
I mean, you go
there's
back
definitely
to all the rumours,
there.
Can't you, the Benzema? We weren't at this stage with the Benzema rumours. I mean, it was all hearsay and a lot of rumours, but there was no set deal agreed at any time or anything like this.
No, not like this.
By good sources. So we're definitely, you know, we're jumping the gun a little bit, hoping that everything goes through, but
yeah,
it looks pretty great, doesn't it? But how would you feel, Neil? Let me give you a situation. Again, it's all rumours, we're just speculating, but how would you feel if Giroud went to Chelsea, but we got Aubameyang? would you take that now, or you'd rather stay as is?
I'd have to take that because, you know, as I said, Giroud, I'm a big fan of his, but he doesn't seem to make the impact from when he starts. I mean, you've noticed that he might change things when he comes on, but most of the times, if you look at statistics, I feel that if he starts games, he doesn't have the same impact. Whereas, you know, Aubameyang is going to be a new card completely, something completely different to the Premiership, something completely different for Arsenal if he joins. And I just feel that with his pedigree, you know, he's a goal scorer, as you said, you likened him to Henri a little earlier. You can't ask for more, really. And I just think he'll work, even if he plays with Lacazette, whether it be Lacazette doesn't play and he's with Mkhitaryan and Ozil. I just think it's Ozil's dream. I mean, Ozil's dream, I think, to have someone like Aubameyang in the team. And I think that will work. I mean, the one thing that we're not talking about at the moment, which is understandable, is, you know, our defence and our centre mid position. You know, I still think we need something there as well to complete it for us. Whether it be a centre mid or whether it be a new central defender, I don't know what the answer is, but I still think we need to obviously shore up the defence because we have let a lot of goals in. But, you know, I'll take it. Even if it just ends with him coming, with Mkhitaryan, we've got that new Greek defender. I don't know much about him, but, you know, at least that's... that's not a bad January window for Arsenal, is it? I mean, we're not known to,
not at all, mate.
You know, that's not a bad January. And do you know what? As I said earlier, I'm not even thinking about the guy we lost now. I just saw him on Sky, his pictures of him in his training with Man U, and it didn't even bother me. It's really weird. As much as
I thought,
yeah, you know, overnight, literally, I just, this will be such a big plus for the club as well, Jack, and for all the fans, if we do get him, it will go a long way to heal. I mean, a lot of fans are still hurting from the loss of Sanchez, and I'm sure, you know, end of the day, we're trying to stay, you know, be a little bit cold hearted about it, but it does hurt. It does hurt me as well, especially going to Man U, but, you know, we got Mkhitaryan out of it, which I think, you know, we're not even spoken about him. I think, He didn't maybe suit the way Mourinho set about how he plays football. And I just feel, if the rumours are true that he says he's an Arsenal, he's always been an Arsenal fan and he's always wanted to play for the club. You know, who knows if that's the case and he likes Wenger's style of play. He could be a gem as well. You know, more than maybe we thought of in the first place. He could end up being an amazing find. It sort of like makes you feel a lot better, doesn't it? That, all right, we've lost, you know, Sanchez, but look what we gained. We've gained Mkhitaryan, and maybe potentially we've also gained Aubameyang as well. So that is world-class stuff going on here. Yeah. It really is.
What do you think it says, Neil? Again, I mean, we'll get to the defence and midfield just in a second. If we do get these deals through, irrespective of us getting rid of... But look, in terms of us selling... It's all been a bit slapdash and very quick, and you never want to be this busy in January, possibly. I mean, I don't know, I found it quite exciting so far, but we got rid of Walcott, we got rid of Coquelin, we got rid of Ox.
Yeah.
We look like we're getting rid of Giroud. Well. Now we talked in the summer a lot about lots of players being too loyal, you know, holding on to players too long almost, you know. It seems, although it's extremely quick, unbelievably quick, it seems like we've got decent money back for those players, right? Barring the Alexis situation, but we've got a player back there. But we've got decent money back for those. And the club and even the board members, if this does turn out, deserve a bit of credit, don't they?
Yeah. Well, let's see if this Aubameyang does transpire. And he's shown, and he's you know, on the site where then they do all the pictures of him in the Arsenal shirt and all of that. And if that all that happens, then yeah, I mean, it's a coup, isn't it, for the club? Absolutely, for the fans and everyone that's associated with Arsenal. And I suppose we have to give them a bit of a credit because we have done nothing but criticise them, and rightly so, I believe, up until now. I just think the way. Everything has been managed at the top level. I know a lot of people disagree with me. I've had various debates on Twitter about it, but I think it's been poorly managed, and that's just my opinion about how they've gone about business. You know, I don't believe that they should let star players' deals run right down. I think they should be sorted out well before that point, because then if you are got to a situation where the player absolutely doesn't want to play for the club, then you've still got some bargaining power as to how much you can sell that player for. If you let their contract run down to nothing, then you've got no bargaining chips at all. And so I think there has been a lot of mismanagement. But, you know, if they do pull this off, and, you know, even there's a chance Ozil may stay, especially if Aubameyang comes. Jack, I've got a really good feeling that Ozil might even put pen to paper.
Stop, you know, there's getting two out of hand.
No, seriously. I know there's all talk about financial, you know, the financial fair play and the thing with the wages and all of that. I know there's all of that in the background, and, you know, I'm not an expert on all of that, but, you know, there could be a way that they sort this out. You know, they might get rid of Giroud. They might get rid of a couple of others that we weren't even expecting. You know, Debuchy, I'm sure there's a chance that he's going to go. So, you know, I mean, to be fair to him, he did, you know, the few couple of games he did play recently, he wasn't too bad, to be honest with you. I thought he played all right, but.
No.
So much has happened since we've been on, you know, and we haven't even spoken. It does feel a bit weird that we just come straight in and we're talking about this, but this is the news at the moment. Absolutely. And I just think, oh mate, I've got to admit, I'm getting a little bit excited about this now. I really am. I don't know what to say.
Do you know what I said? I mean, we're all going back and forth, and I was getting excited about a week or two ago, and you were rightly so telling me, hey, calm down, Jack. You know, you know what it's like with Arsenal.
Yeah.
But one thing I did say, I was speaking to my dad yesterday. I was saying, Do you know what I've noticed is even if we don't get Aubameyang, which is definitely possible, even at this point, still possible.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Wenger seems so confident in interviews that people are coming in. Like, not even just one. He seemed confident that more than one's coming in. And he was like, there's other opportunities for us. It's not just down to one player. Da, da, da. He seemed very relaxed about it. He always has been. But he seemed very confident on deals being done, that we are looking to strengthen. And, you know, there's still time left. And, you know, I'm very, very excited for the Aubameyang thing, just like you are. Because
I am,
one thing we lack, and obviously we got rid of Walcott, we got rid of Alexis, and what seems a gaping hole is pace running through our side, Neil. Do you know what I mean? Like, pace running through the centre of our side. I don't know about you, I'm quite a big fan of Lacazette, but I thought he might be a little bit faster.
You know what I mean?
I feel like, especially in that first 5 or 10 yards. And I think that's huge for us, especially when we're breaking, you know, we're transitioning. I felt, you know, we've complained for a long time about our build-up play being too slow and all this kind of stuff, you know. Do you have any concerns, Neil, with Aubameyang's sort of off-the-field antics?
No, I'm not getting into it. No. I mean, let's see. Because at the end of the day, that all may change. His attitude may change. All of that may change under the guidance of Wenger. Who knows? I know Wenger, under Wenger's reign, he has had some problems with some players. But I honestly, let's not start thinking about all of that. You know, if it happens, let's embrace the positives only for the moment until otherwise, if it does happen. Let's look at it that way, because there's been too much negativity around the club for so long now, Jack. I think we need a boost. I think we all need a boost, and let's just focus on the positives. And let's not worry about all the negatives. I mean, they might, you know, we're second guessing and we're preempting something that might not even happen. Do you know what I mean? I mean, things may be completely different under Wenger. So, let's first make sure he comes along once that's happened, let's see him play and let's see him put the ball in the net, which I think is what we lack in. You know, when Lacazette first came, he did, you know, straight away he made an impact, and he was like taking the ball literally first time and just banging it in the back of the net. Do you remember the first few games? And then all of a sudden he's gone a bit quiet. Now, whether that's a combination of with the problems with Alexis and maybe he's been isolated and maybe he's not got the service that he may, you know, may have thrived under. We don't know.
I do.
I think we still need to give him a chance. I don't think we should sit there and criticize him per se. I think we just need to give him a chance. We've got to see how he may work with Mkhitaryan and maybe now Ozil. Look at him lately. You know, we've not even mentioned how he's played lately. He's been unbelievable. Now, we all thought when we were talking on WhatsApp and we weren't able to pod, all of us were thinking, is he doing it because he wants to, he's selling himself. Yeah, shop window. But I don't know if there's a chance that he's going to sign, and if this is a sign of him, you know, playing unbelievably well, he's going to just get better with Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang. He's got to, Jack. And I think the players have been lifted with Sanchez's departure. The two games that we played since he's gone, we played like a weight's been lifted off the shoulder. I can't explain it. They just seemed freer. They seemed more up for it. They seemed happier. Did you notice the celebrations? They were all getting involved. It was all very different. It just had a different outlook on it. And I don't know. Maybe it's coincidence, but it might not be. It might be that there was a cloud with him there. Maybe he was causing problems in the dressing room. All of that adds up to you know, negativity around the club. And if that's gone, then it's a bit like Gallas. Remember Gallas had that problem with, was it Toure a few years ago? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, well, Gallas had a few problems, didn't he, Gallas, inside?
Yeah.
Well, him and Naz hated each other as well, didn't they? Don't forget that.
That's it. Yeah. And that doesn't help, you know. It doesn't matter if it's only two people.
Yeah.
Two people that have a significant impact in the squad. Now, Sanchez certainly does, or did, because he was like almost like our talisman. You know, that's going to have an impact on all the players, especially the young players. So if that's, if we've lost that, then surely that's only got to be a good thing.
It's all about your coach as well, isn't it, Neil? Because Wenger's a huge part of Wenger is you know, having a good team camaraderie and good spirit within the team base. Someone like Mourinho probably wouldn't worry too much about that and might be able to move it a little bit better. But Arsene Wenger, you know, he doesn't like any bad eggs.
No. He doesn't like confrontation, does he?
Which hinders us a little bit at times because, you know our real leaders were quite confrontational, weren't they, Vieira? Adams, etc., quite opinionated people, just trying to be that way. But at the same time, he likes that kind of spirit. So you're right. I mean, one perfect sign of that, Neil, was Wednesday night. we got to another cup final. Getting bored of it.
Yeah.
Perfectly honest. We got another cup final, League Cup, and we've not been there and won it under Arsene Wenger, but
no.
Really, I mean, it wasn't, you know, we were the better side, I thought, on that night, but we dug in. We went 1-0 down early on. They were splitting us up at will.
Yeah, they were.
15 minutes, and I was like, writing's on the wall here. I didn't see us turning that around. And we
no.
We dug in there, we hung in there, you know, Wilshere led us, Ozil led us,
Nacho
led us, I mean, Nacho was fantastic, beautiful header, always going in, and it was nice to see. I don't know, I mean, you can't say, you know, with Alexis would that still have happened, but it's nice to see that was a game that I didn't feel we played particularly well.
No.
But I thought we were the better side. And we came out of it against a very good Chelsea side, albeit depleted, though they weren't talking much about us, how depleted we were in the first
leg. No, I never do.
Had Chambers playing and Holding playing centre-back in the first leg.
Wilshere
went off injured. We had no players in that first leg.
No.
Found it very interesting. That never really got mentioned. But, you know, another cup final, mate. And people, you know, I talk a lot to fans and they go, well, this is not a big cup, it's not a concern. In the state that we're in at the moment, mate, it's it'd be fantastic.
Take it all day. Of course, nowhere would I ever. I've always heard these things about Tim Potcutt, and I've always thought that it's still a competition, it's still a trophy. It may not be up there with the pedigree of all the big boys in terms of the Champions League and the Premiership, of course not, but it's still a trophy. And I think, you know, when you get close, quarterfinals, semi-finals, you've got to take it seriously. It's a shame we didn't lift it when we played in the final against Birmingham a few years ago, but, you know, we got another chance. And the irony of it is it's a reverse of last season's FA Cup, isn't it? Semi-final and final, where we played Man City first and then Chelsea. This time we've done Chelsea. Now we got Man City, and hopefully that's a good omen for us, and I really think we can beat them. They're going to have so many other things going on. They've got, you know, they're focusing on the Prem, they're focusing on the Champions League, obviously, and the FA Cup, of course. So you know, maybe, you know, we could hopefully can take advantage of that. And can you imagine if we do get Aubameyang, and I don't know whether they qualify to play. I don't know how it works. But surely,
so
if it's a domestic cup,
I don't think there's an issue with a domestic cup for Aubameyang because he's not played in any of them. There is an issue with
Mkhitaryan.
He couldn't play Wednesday night, could he? And he was cleared. So
that's right.
He can't play in that.
Okay.
And Europa
right.
League, I don't think Aubameyang can play in the Europa League.
Okay, fair enough.
Because we can only register one, and Mkhitaryan hasn't played in Europa League yet.
Okay.
Because he was in the Champions League, but Dortmund are now in the Europa League. I think that affects somehow. So I think Mkhitaryan can play in the Europa League, but Aubameyang wouldn't be out.
Can't, but he can play potentially.
Sorry to interrupt you. It says something that, you know, we've obviously results kind of went our way last week, and we felt a little bit of hope. You know, we're still far off thinking about top four, really. We've got to sort our own problems out. But it says something, this signing says that Wenger still believes we can do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does. Of course it does.
If we make this signing, it says that Wenger still, because the only thing that Aubameyang really can play in, he certainly can't play in Europe. So, we, you know, 14, 15 games, we're saving him for the league, aren't we?
We're saving him for the league. He's got to be. What else can be? That's the only thing we've got. He can play in, can't he? Apart from one final, if that's the case.
So, yeah, exactly. So it's all about the league. And
that's great.
I mean, you've got two teams to drop points. It's still a long way to go, of course. But the next 2 weeks, mate, I've looked a bit at the fixtures and stuff, are huge for us. Tuesday night is massive because you've got Tottenham playing Man U, I think, Tuesday night or something like that.
Mm.
And then you've got Liverpool-Tottenham coming up in the next week or two.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we've got to, and I'm not certain we can do it, to be perfectly honest, but I believe we've got to put a run together, haven't we?
I think we have to. I think it's horrible when you have to rely on other teams. I know that it's not always the best case scenario, but we're in that position now, and we have to put some reliance on other teams dropping points and results going our way. But I firmly believe that if we can show what we did in the last two games, you know, even Crystal Palace, we didn't talk about that. I mean, that was a great match. You know, we didn't start off too strong, and then all of a sudden it just flipped into gear and we were awesome. So if we can show that kind of commitment and that kind of camaraderie between the players, and they can up their game just that little bit and keep the momentum going, then I don't see why we can't finish top four, Jack. You know, I'm always positive. I can't, even I'm going to say the league's over now, but we can. There's still a long wait. How many games have we all played? Is it about 20, 21? I don't know where we are now. Bam, you looked at the table for a while.
I don't look at games. I think there's maybe 15 left, something like that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of points. There's a lot of points to still win and drop. There's a long way to go. So I think, especially if we get, again, I'll keep talking about him, but if we do get Aubameyang, that's going to be a massive lift. And as you said, quite rightly, he'll only be focusing on the league because that's all he can play in. So we've got every chance. At least Wenger, let's see what he's doing. At least he's giving the team a chance. And that's all we want. And if we can just show commitment and we don't play any games like we have done in this season, you know, where we've just thought, what the hell are we doing? Then there is every chance. And that's all we want. That is all we want from our club. An effort, you know, to see a really good hardcore effort. And going back to what you said about the cup final, I'm so thrilled. I mean, I tweeted earlier today, you know, I felt a bit gutted that we weren't part of the FA Cup weekend. But then I said on the same breath, I said that, well, at least we've still got one final to look forward to, which, you know, it's not the FA Cup final, but it's still Wembley, isn't it? It's still a trip to Wembley. And that's great. And it's a glamour cup final as well. You know, Man City, let's just be honest, they're a great team to watch. I mean, I've got to say, the game that they lost against Liverpool, thank God. So we've still got our unbeaten record. You know, it was still a great spectacle and they play nice football, and yeah, hopefully it'll be a really good cup final, and hopefully we can, you know, end up winners of that final. So it's all good. It's all good. You know, after a few weeks of absolute doom and gloom, I think everyone was losing faith. I certainly was. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why Wenger was making some of the decisions he was when picking teams and lineups. I was absolutely gutted with what happened at Forest. All due respect to them, but, you know, I just felt that what we were doing. But, you know, and after all of that, we need something to lift us. And as I said, if this deal goes ahead, wow. That's fantastic.
I'm flicking through while I'm obviously listening to you, because it's great stuff, but I'm flicking through the Twitter links, all the big accounts now, and obviously some crappy ones too, which there's a lot of, are tweeting it now, jumping on.
Oh, fantastic.
Ornstein Bagwagon. Supposedly it was a German paper or German article, Kicker, that released it.
Kicker.
So fantastic from them, and that they're apparently really reliable. I didn't know too much about it. But obviously, I looked at Ornstein. I don't look to these other guys that sort of jump on a bandwagon. You know, you see loads of them, the Football Mole and AFC Hawks, and all those rubbish ones that just jump on. But it seems like, you know, everyone's starting to get a little bit excited about it. Obviously, we do go overboard, don't we, on Twitter with Arsenal, but... A couple of things I'm reading is that we would let Giroud join Chelsea, supposedly, if they meet our asking price of 35 million. I'm not sure.
It's not.
We want to loan him. And Neil, I'm not really sure what a loan does for us. Do you know, I was reading a lot about
the wage cap
for us. Do you know what I mean? The wage cap and how our commercial deals have to be improved. I mean, if we can improve our kit deal like Puma and switch to someone else, because, you know, our commercial deals aren't very good. So if we can improve those, that somehow you can use that towards your wage cap, and you don't have to say so rigidly within the 7 million. I'm just reading bits about it. I don't know enough about it, to be perfectly honest. But anyway, I don't see what the loan deal really does.
No, it doesn't.
Especially if we want to try and sign Ozil up, do you know what I mean? That's going to cost us, what, 300 grand a week from what we're seeing?
Of course, at least, I would say.
So in order to make that work, we probably need to get Giroud completely off the books.
It's just a shame it's Chelsea, though. That's the only thing.
Because they're a direct rival, Neil. We're still competing with them for the top four. There's rumours that Conte's going to leave. You know, it's a concern.
That was a bit of a strange one. Yeah, I was quite shocked at that, actually. Yeah. Wow.
There's rumours that, you know, I don't know, you know, you don't know, do you? But it is frustrating, because ideally you sell not to a direct rival, don't you? And this would be another
one too in the space of the same window. No, exactly.
Yeah, which is frustrating.
I'm gutted. I'm actually gutted. I mean, as I said, I do like Giroud, and that will be good. In fact, I'll probably be more upset about that one than the Alexis one, because Alexis, you know, there's something about Giroud that I really like. I've got more of an attachment with him, but it does make sense, and 35 million for Giroud ain't bad, to be fair.
Yeah, I read that just now. Again, I'm just reading reports. Way off, but that's mental money if that's true.
Oh God, yeah, and that will help, as you said, with all due respect to Giroud, Ozil's got to be the biggest signing and the more important player for us, especially if we've already got Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, Lacazette, and Welbeck.
We're just leaving in it. I love it.
And we're not even mentioning poor Nketiah, who I think is a fabulous player in his own right. He's still got that as backup. One for the future. It's all happening, but I still err on the side of caution. Not now with Aubameyang, but just with our defence and our midfield. There's all this talk about Johnny Evans and God knows what else,
Yesterday I watched the whole Liverpool game yesterday, and obviously once you get linked to players, you watch them a little bit closer, don't you?
I thought
he was pretty poor, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'm not sure about him, to be honest.
I know he's been at Manchester United, and I'm probably Wenger's looking at it and going, without Mustafi and Koscielny, we lack experience because he doesn't trust Mertesacker anymore, and he does as a person, but not as a player probably. And Holding and Chambers have obviously, they just look a little bit rash and they're probably not quite ready, unfortunately. So there's also rumours that Holding might be loaned out, which I'm not sure of any truth in that. But surely, if that's happening, we're getting a centre back in, and the only one we're really being massively used to is Evans.
I'm not so sure about him, to be honest. But then again, if you're saying I didn't watch it yesterday, but if you said he played poor, maybe it is because he is on the verge or the cusp of joining us, and his mind's with Arsenal. We don't know. There could be millions of reasons why his performance wasn't there yesterday. But I haven't watched enough of him lately, Jack, to make any real kind of opinion on him. But I'm not so sure. I don't know if he's the answer. He could if he does come along, he could end up being an amazing buy, find an amazing buy for us and play really well. It's just an unknown, isn't it? But he wouldn't have been the first person on my list to be in that position. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to say. He just wouldn't. It just feels, it's almost like, not a panic, might panic buy, but something just doesn't feel right about it. But who knows? Who am I? I'm not a manager, so I don't know. Maybe he will do wonders for us. But what do you think?
Yeah, I'm like you. I mean, if he's coming in as the third centre back, and we're deciding to go back to a four, which to be perfectly honest, I have no idea if we are or not. Even during the Chelsea game, did you see how Erwin sat back deep in the second half? Back a little bit and kind of filled in there. And if he's going to do that and he wants a ball playing centre half, when you sell Giroud to Chelsea, take David Luiz off him and bring him back here, because he'll do that. And he's probably better at it in the centre half. He's a bit rash and a bit of a donkey, but what he did for him last season and won the league for him. He wants a ball playing centre half, then. And that's kind of the one to get, I guess. But we're the master of swap deals, aren't we? So I don't know. But I'm not really. I like the four because I feel like we need three in midfield. In that sense, but I don't really know if we've got two centre backs that are strong enough to cope with being in the four. So that's the.
You
know what I mean? So we do need a centre back. But I think, I mean, let's just. Well, I mean, we're going to end it in a second. But Neil, if you had to put money on it, and we're going to be wrong, I'm sure, but if you had to put money on it, what do you say, what are your ins and outs by the end of Wednesday? Is it the end of Wednesday? Yeah, the end of Wednesday, which is the 31st. What would you be your ins and outs now? If you just had to sort of say it out there, I know you don't like to speculate, but what do you think?
Well, obviously, Aubameyang in, because it looks like it's happening. It's probably, I'd say, 85% done, maybe 90%. So that's a big percentage. So that's the in. Unfortunately, the out probably will be Giroud, which is the one I'm gutted about. But I think it makes sense from the financial point of view and financial fair play and all the rest of it. So that's that. I didn't know actually about the Holding situation, the loan and Johnny Evans.
Just reports on it, Burnley supposedly.
But we have been repeatedly linked with Johnny Evans, and I don't know, is it actually happening now? Is it going to happen? So if I was going to hazard a guess, I'd probably say him coming in, and then that might pave way for Holding to go on loan. In the midfield, to be honest, I think that'll probably be it. I can't see anything else happening. Potentially Debuchy going. I think Debuchy may go, but then is anyone else? I can't think of any other position. I would like to see someone come in to, you know, to help out in that midfield position, but I can't see it. I think I don't even know who's out there or who's available.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're just not being linked. I mean, there was the Nzonzi story a couple of months back, but that died a death as soon as January hit.
Mm.
And your thoughts on obviously the two big contracts, the Wilshere and the Ozil? Obviously, it doesn't have to be done before January 31st. You'd hope it would be, but I mean,
that would be magnificent. Oh, thoughts on that? Well, Ozil, I don't really have to say much more. You know, if he's going to stay and we're going to get Aubameyang, I just think that's going to be incredible for Ozil. I think he's going to get even better than he's shown in the last few games, which is saying something, because I think he's been magnificent lately. So you've got that, and then Jack. Well, do I need to say anything more? He's future captain for me. Fucking future. Sorry for swearing, but future captain for me. And I think he is what Arsenal is about. I don't know how else to express it. I think he is what Arsenal is about, and you need to have him as captain, and that means he needs to sign a long, long contract, I think, to keep him for the rest of his career. If, you know, God forbid, just keeping himself injury free. I think that man needs to stay at Arsenal for the rest of his career, because he's awesome. He's already shown so much. He's, you know, he's battled through all his demons, you know, going out on loan and all the rest of it. Yeah. And he came back, and he started off
matured
a little bit gingerly.
As well, isn't he?
And he's matured, but
he
started
his
off.
Actions, though, the way he speaks, if you notice, he's come across as someone that's learned from the crap that he did when he was.
It's bizarre. Bizarrely, it almost feels like it's happened overnight, though, isn't it? It just feels like.
And he knows it as well. And Per Mertens came out today and said, what a leader he is. You know, he's in the dressing room. I want all our players to be like Jack.
And, absolutely.
And Wenger's hinted at it as well. And that's one deal. I know you want the Ozil deal, and you believe it. It will happen, but Wenger's hinted, and also Jack's hinted at, you know, in multiple videos that he will sign once he's there and he sees it, he will sign. So you hope that one's just a formality, as long as we're offering.
Oh, I hope so, and I hope all these, you know, they're all stories, but you know, he had me take a pay cut and all that. I hope that's all bollocks, because I'll just sign the man up, for God's sake. And I'll tell you who else is an unsung hero and a leader, is Nacho.
I think he's
underrated.
We brought in all these guys. He's still our best left back, isn't he?
Oh, without doubt. But I think he's also a bit of a leader, and I don't think people see that too much of him. It's not obvious, and I just think he's one of those where he's so important for the team, Jack. He really is. He may have the odd times where he's not playing as well as he normally does, and etc. But I think overall he's a fantastic addition that we have.
That's the kind of mentality you need from a player, isn't it? He came in, he was a little skinny Spanish, you know, he came in, skinny Spanish player, and you're looking at it going, well, Gibbs was relatively solidly in the team at that point.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it going, I don't really, and he had a pretty poor first season, and then he
did.
He just never looked back, did he? He just never looked back. And he's,
no.
So, no matter where we've moved him into positions that he doesn't even play in centre back, you know. And
he's never complains, and he's professional.
Brilliant.
He is. The one disappointment for me lately has been Kolasinac, because I thought he was going to be, well, you know, I just love the guy, and I just think he's just got too big. I think he's just too big.
I agree.
He needs to shed. I know it looks good, but he needs to shed weight, and he needs to work on his movement and stuff. And I just feel that if he gets that and he can still maintain some of his size, because we need that bit of aggression, I think he'll be fine. I mean, I don't know. I just think he needs to lose some weight. But overall, I think this is all good news. You know, Theo going, you know, I think Theo is obviously a lovely guy and all the rest of it. He said, you know, he sent a nice message to the fans, but it just never worked for him. And I think it's a good move for him. You know, I think he needed a change. He needed to see what he could do at another club. So I think that was a good move, and good luck to the guy. I don't have any animosity towards him. No, good luck to him.
He was
a nice guy, and I think that's the problem though with Arsenal. Too much niceness. And I think we need a little bit of cutthroatness in the team now. And you know, hopefully these new signings will give us that. And we can just, we've always felt that we're always just so close, but yet so far. But hopefully, if these guys come in, you know, we could almost be at the finished article. Hopefully, if everyone, the players that we need to stay, and these new guys come in, I think we could be there, Jack. We could be there, and we could hopefully, always say, I know, but hopefully, challenging next season. It's good to, it's weird, isn't it? We don't normally speak like this in January. It's just bizarre. It just feels weird. Doesn't it?
Mate, if it happens and everything goes away accordingly, well, to be perfectly honest, I think just
okay. Hang on, just let me stop you right there. It's saying Hang on.
I know the $60 million looked like possibly being agreed.
Right, okay. Sky sources. Aubameyang deal not completed. Talks continue between Arsenal and Borussia Dortmund. So I don't know. That's not on the breaking. That's on the bit above, which is in white.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure. I don't know if, yeah.
But, so it sounds like it's close. Everyone's saying very, very close.
Yeah.
It's moving. I mean, we don't know. We're just talking like, you know, we're talking like, what's he going to be like if he does come? But we know that it's not completely done yet. But, you know, we're starting to believe in it maybe just a little bit, and it's hard not to, I guess. But,
and why not? It's hard not to. You know, we're passionate fans. It's hard not to get excited. Yeah. It's a club that we love, and we want to see the best for it, and it's hard not to get excited. Even I am. Come on, Jesus. And I'm normally a miserable bastard.
You've got to admit that, mate. If there was a trophy, which I think there will be soon, and I'm looking forward to it, for the January transfer window, we'll win that, aren't we, every year?
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, we've blown that one out of the water. No, just another trophy on Wenger's books. I just want to say a quick thing before we go. I speak to a lot of Liverpool and Tottenham fans, and yesterday I cracked up, especially if Tottenham had gone out, it'd be hilarious. But that was both their biggest games of the season. Mark my words.
Yeah.
And Liverpool fans coming back at me saying, "We've got bigger fish to fry." Yeah, of course you have. Yeah, big giant goldfish. Right, you've got nothing to fry, boys. Okay, you haven't won a trophy in 6 years. You've not won the FA Cup in 11. You've not won the league since you've been born, most of you. It's been 28 years, okay? You were a big club. You're now a glorified Newcastle, okay? Just because your manager screams and shouts a little bit with yellow teeth on the sidelines, it means nothing. That was your biggest game of the season. Your season's over. You spent $75 million on a centre-back, and your season is over already at the end of January, okay? So, right, you've got the Champions League, and to be perfectly honest, Liverpool's the only team that I really worry about in the Champions League out of England because they seem to have a history in it. But let's be honest, that was their biggest game of the season, and they absolutely bottled it. So don't come at us with our Mickey Mouse trophy game I'm hearing from a lot of fans, okay? You dream of having the last 4 years that we've had. Three FA Cups, your fans would have gone mental for it. They take any trophy right now, and obviously you can't start on Spurs because they're not really significant in any which way or form, but Liverpool do have a history at least. But let's be honest, that was the biggest game of their season. They bowled it. I thought it was fantastic.
Don't hold back, Jack. You know, just don't.
I love talking to Liverpool.
You know what annoys me? What annoys me is not the fans. I'm talking about the media,
darlings,
right?
The media
they are absolutely on Arsenal's back, literally 24 hours a day, and they'll criticise them at any chance and opportunity they get. And they keep talking, and I wouldn't mind that if there was consistency. So if they were doing the same with some other clubs that are around us, I wouldn't mind. But the point is, they do the absolute reverse for the clubs like Tottenham and Liverpool. And you look at their if you want to just look at trophies, what actually have they won in the last 10 years? One trophy between them, two trophies maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
that is neglected. That's completely neglected. They're the teams which are moving forwards. They're the teams that have got ambition. They're the teams that are the teams to look out for. Yes, I'm not going to deny it. Tottenham are a great team to watch. I've got to admit it as an Arsenal fan. They're playing very well. They've got a good team. They've got a good manager. Well, who might actually end up at Real Madrid now. But, but they are playing at the moment. They're a good team. They're a hard team to beat. And so, and Liverpool, all right. They, as you said, they've got the history. They are well renowned and all the rest of it. But if you want to look at it from a trophy point of view, we're the ones that are delivered out of the three.
Absolutely.
And yet we're the ones that get criticised all the time.
Absolutely. And the reasons for it, Neil, and I know the media never really loved Arsenal, but Wenger coming in and being here this long is a huge factor. They hate that. They hate that Wenger's more intelligent than they are and treats them like little school kids in every and doesn't tell them any of the truth. They know they're being played by him, and he loves it because he's so much more intelligent than their little finger. He's more intelligent than his own little finger than they've got in their whole body. And he just sits there and he always maintains. He's such a classy human being.
He's class.
Then it's also because all these other teams supposedly have new projects starting every 3 or 4 years because the previous project didn't work.
Yeah.
Have a new guy that comes in, and they love the fact that they're shouting and screaming on the sidelines and running up and down like a fan. And Arsene Wenger sits there very methodical, you know, very relaxed. Always done the same thing. Always did the same thing when we were winning and unbeaten. Said the same thing. Never changed. And they hate that. And the last thing is the media know that they'll get 5 times the response when they criticise Arsenal. And if they say anything about anyone else, positive or negative, so they know it, and we play to that a little bit, our own fans do, but I can understand why you would, because it's almost bullying almost towards him, you know, it's pathetic, really. But like you said, we've not been great in the league, and the league is a way to...
No, we haven't.
No doubt about that. But you know, the fact that we haven't been great, Neil, and we've still won 3 FA Cups in 4 years, which is the longest serving competition, cup competition in the world, I believe.
It is. So it's the oldest competition in the world as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't doubt. I'm hearing people say...
No, you can't downplay it. No way. Of course not. No chance.
Look how much... You can even look at the League Cup. How much did Pep Guardiola go absolutely insane when they beat Bristol City? He was so happy.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? There was a thing.
Sorry to interrupt. There was a thing a few years ago. Maybe even longer than that, because obviously I'm getting old now. But there was a thing that came out, and it was saying that every kid that plays football dreams of playing in Wembley in the FA Cup final, no matter where they are in the world. That's how prestigious that cup is, and it is a big thing, and I think we don't give, as fans, I don't think we big it up enough. It's almost as if, you know, can you imagine if that had been Tottenham fans, 3 FA Cup fight, you know, in 4 years, they'd be like, you wouldn't hear the end of it. I don't think we big it up enough. We should be proud. We should be more proud of what we've achieved, and I think we've achieved a lot. And there's another thing, that going back to one of your tweets a few days ago about Wenger. And you got it spot on. He turned down Real Madrid in his prime 3 times to stay with Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly.
And Pochettino looks like he's off. First approach, looks like he's off.
He's gone. If they
what does that tell you?
He'll beg for it.
You know, Tottenham fans going on about Pochettino. They said, don't get me wrong, I like him. I think he's a great manager. But, you know, the first sign of him getting approached by, let's not beat around the bush, we're on Madrid, biggest club in the world, one of the biggest clubs in the world. Yeah. You know, it's a very tempting thing. But the point is, as you said, Wenger turned around not once, not twice, but 3 times.
Yeah.
And you get Arsenal fans going, yeah, but that's because he knew that as soon as he wouldn't perform, he'd get sacked. But hang on a minute. I don't think it is that, because he's done that as well. Yeah, many times.
Multiple times. His own country, to manage your own country. I mean, what a flipping honour that is. And he's gone, don't want it.
And it's not about that with him, because if it was about that and it was just about the money, even if he did go to Real Madrid and he say he didn't deliver and he gets sacked, he's going to get a massive payout from them. Huge. Yeah, so it's not about that. It's not about the bloody money. It's about Wenger showing his loyalty, as he always has. He's saying that, you know, and he's always one that wants to honour contracts, and he's always done that. And, you know, whether he does go at the end of next year, his 2-year contract or whatever, I still think that he's class. He is class. And I've been really critical of him of late. Really, I mean, he pissed me off about the Forest game. He really pissed me off about what he was doing with that. I do feel that he showed that cup little respect by, all right, if he didn't start with the senior players, he should have at least had 2 or 3 on the bench. Okay, so I was fuming. I thought, hang on a minute, mate, you're a record breaker in that competition. What are you doing? What is your thought process? Why are you saving players for the league where, let's be honest, all right, it's important to get that 4th spot, but this at the moment is a great chance to progress in a cup, which you've been a record breaker in. And I was fuming at that. So I have been highly critical of him lately as well. As you rightly said, Jack, you have too, and all of us have. But he is class. I'm not going to deny it.
Class. Of course he's class. Yeah, absolutely. And when he goes, when he goes, and I'm sure, you know, we know that time's coming and all that kind of stuff, but you know, we criticise him, but we have huge respect for him certainly on this one.
Oh, we do.
We always do. And I've criticised him for the contracts thing, because I couldn't get my head around the contracts. I was like, just sell him or sign him up early. But I'm sure it's not as simple as that. But I know you gave me your feedback. I'm just going to get your prediction for Swansea. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we can post this one. That'd be awesome. I'm going to predict that Aubameyang in, because obviously we're seeing stuff now, and it's, you know, got to predict that now, aren't we? Obviously.
Oh, mate, I'm so excited. Yeah,
it's brilliant. I'm going to say Giroud to Chelsea is going to happen, because I think we had this. The reason the deal took so long, and I'm completely speculating, we always do, is because we were banking on Giroud being part of that deal and not having to pay a fee above like 45 million. Because if you look at the ins and outs, over the 45 million breaks us even in terms of what fees, you know, for in and out for players. So I presume that's one of the reasons the deal took so long. So I think he'll go. probably to Chelsea. That's the only link. I think Johnny mm-hmm. Evans or someone will come in at centre-back.
Yeah.
I think Wilshere will sign before the end of Feb.
Okay.
And I don't believe Ozil will, simply because...
Really? Okay.
Simply because and do you know what? If he did, I would do. That would be a complete U-turn for me on Ozil, because I'm loving him this season, and I've never really been fully.
No, you haven't.
Ozil, have I?
No.
And I'm taking back all of.
Okay, can I quickly ask? Can I stop you there? So don't think he will? What's the reason for him?
I can't get my head around, Neil. Do you know what? I can't get my head around. I sit there and I read about the possible fees of Alexis, and now you see it kind of. You know, repeated from multiple sources, and you look at it, and somewhere between 400 and 500 grand a week, Alexis got, right?
Okay.
6 months left on his contract, same age as Ozil, I believe, give or take a year. Same age, and you presume Ozil's going to get asked for at least that similar money, right? So that's one thing I can't get my head around, because I know we're not paying anywhere near.
We're never going to pay him that, no.
The second thing is, really, at the end of January, he can speak to pretty much whoever he likes, if he's not doing it already. Because like you said, we've really not handled the contract situation well. For whatever reason, it's not looking good. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, third thing is, I believe Alexis signed somewhere from 10 to 15 million signing on bonus because there was no fee attached to him. Now, there was no fee attached to him because we got Mkhitaryan, but now, come January 31st, there will be no fee attached with Ozil, free player. So I'm looking at it going, even if we offered 300 grand a week, where's the 14 million signing on bonus coming from? And that's what I can't. I'm either not understanding it right, or I'm obviously completely wrong in some way.
Okay.
But I just can't get my head through that. And as much as I think he's a respectable human being and his PR's handled very well, when he handles himself on Instagram very well, he never says anything too rash. I think he's likely just going to filter out come the end of the season and take the best deal for him. And I can't blame him for that, because I just can't believe we're going to spend that money on him.
I'm hearing you, and I think what you're saying is very valid. So we've got him until the end of the summer. That's what it's looking like. Until the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But what if just scenario, and this is me again living in dreamland now. Aubameyang signs, and then they gel so well, and they play so well together, and they play the most attractive football, and he feels really comfortable with him there. You know, what if that in itself could be a turning point for him?
Do you know what,
there's a possibility, is there?
I would love to believe in that, in a player, but there's so... In the modern football, I feel like less and less players fall into that emotional... attachment.
No, I would agree.
I think Wilshere is one, which is why I adore the guy. I just think, genuinely, he probably would sign something that was less of a deal than he has right now, because he loves Arsenal so much.
He loves Arsenal so much.
I think he probably would.
I think Ozil has
more attachment to Arsenal than Alexis. You can tell that from day one, really.
He has
more of attachment with Wenger. Wenger handles him quite well. He gives him a week off when he thinks he needs it. You know he's
Not
off.
He's not.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Ozil, and he just lets Ozil play, which is what Ozil needs. He needs an arm around the shoulder, probably, more than the kind of, you know, do this, do that, do the other. And I don't know, I can't see the emotional attachment from...
Okay, fair enough. That's fair enough.
I find it really, really difficult to see it. You know, if we didn't get it from Henri and eventually he kind of moved on, we did have it from Henri, that's a lie, but you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I dream of it being right, because at the start of the season, I literally said, I don't care if Ozil goes or stays.
You did,
I'm much more in the scenario now that I'd be really upset if he did leave.
But
I do believe he will leave, but I would be upset now. I would be, because I'm seeing the consistency from the player more than I felt I saw beforehand. I'm sure other people saw it. I never doubted he was a footballer. I thought he's a fantastic footballer. I just wanted to see it all the time. Do you know what I mean?
We have recently, haven't we? It's been all over the bloody pitch. He's been brilliant.
Incredible. He's been absolutely incredible. And, you know, but you don't know. But that's been brilliant. What about the Swansea game, mate? It's a banana, banana skin. They got a new manager in. We saw them do Liverpool the other week. They're very sturdy. Their manager seems to have got them drilled really well.
It's a tough game.
Potential banana skin for us. Don't do well at Swansea, do we?
We don't.
We've got to
win,
mate.
Tough. We've got to win it. We've got to. So I'll go 2-1, mate. 2-1, and I will say Ozil, first scorer.
I love that. I'm gonna go. I'm going to go 3-1 Mkhitaryan. I think he's going to start.
Okay, brilliant.
He's got to start, hasn't he?
I hope so. I'd love it.
He's got to start on Mickey, lads. We've got to come up with a song for him.
And
if Aubameyang comes up. If Aubameyang signs, I've got a fantastic song for him. It's very simple, but I think it works really well. So I'm going to hold off on it because I'll look really stupid if I sing it now.
Okay, cool.
So, guys, I hope this recorded. I have no idea if it did or not.
Come on. We need to be back. The podcast needs to be back.
We need to be back. I'm apologies. I've seen a lot of stuff about, you know, generalising, you know, like podcasts are terrible, blogs are terrible, da-da-da. And I totally agree with you mostly, other than our one. You've got to listen to our one. We don't care. We didn't say terrible stuff about our one, but give us a tune in. We know no more than anybody else.
No, we don't.
Can claim it. We're just random fans that got together a few years back and thought, oh, it'd be fun to chat about it and post it and see what...
That's exactly what we're about. We're real. Yeah.
And we don't claim to know anything. We claim absolutely nothing. No. In fact, I know less than the average fan probably, but we'll say it and we know it's
just
sometimes
it.
Pure
speculation. We say it how we see it. We just say it how
we see it. And we love the involvement. So hopefully, if this works, we'll be back every week like normal. If it doesn't, hopefully there won't be too much of a delay on it.
We will be back no matter what. Come on.
If it does
work,
I will try and be back. This is very optimistic. If it does work, we'll try and be back somehow before the transfer window closes, or right after it closes, before the weekend's games. So that is the plan, because I think if it does work, this transfer window, and it comes out, we're going to have to talk about it again.
Sounds good.
All right, mate. I've kept you way too long, but keep the faith and up the Arsenal.
Come on, boys.